Hello, and welcome to Media Ministry at Holden Village. Today's date is June 17th, 2004. Today's session number is ERD 2004-04. Today's speaker is Dan Erlander. The lesson for today is Peace, Part 4 of Summoned Out by a Few of Our Favorite Words, Tom Witt and Mary Preuss. Let's listen in.
Workers. Number 251. We are called. 251. Let's sing together as we gather. Take, O take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart. And live in me.
Take, O take me as I am, and summon out peace, your shalom. Amen. Just a brief review where we left off yesterday. I understand some cannot see this, so we invite you to just come up afterwards and see it if you're right in the line. But the reminder of the of our beginning with the three judgments, which then we changed to the three declarations. Yesterday, the three proclamations, and after prayerful consideration, yesterday we decided to change it to the three exclamations. So if you want to change that in your notes, it's now the three exclamations that one, God created all and God desires all to be nourished and to blossom and to be cared for. Number two, that God sides with the weakest when they are taken advantage of. And then the third, that the family of God, the covenant family, is open to all by faith. Then the other thing I wanted to share at the beginning is, I didn't think of any jokes that would kind of fit in with the session today. So I decided to get this part over. I would just tell you the shortest joke I know. This won't take much time. Shortest joke I know, and it really doesn't fit in to anything. But there was this skeleton who walked into a bar and ordered a beer and a mop. Is there anybody that doesn't get it? Okay, then I have one announcement to make Christopher gave to me. There's evidently been some confusion about Saturday, and Saturday will be a free day for everyone. And also there will be no Narnia on Saturday, and it's just a day to rest and hike and do what you would like to do. And then here at the village, there'll be a skeleton crew that will kind of mopping around and stuff. Okay. Well, today, then just a brief review where we left off yesterday when we had the triangle of worship, relationship to God, and then justice and righteousness, and then compassion and steadfast love. And then when these three is then what Paul D. Hansen, the initiator of this triangle, said is the Yahwist, he says, the Yahwist, or the community life that came out of the wilderness experience to bring into the promised land, that the wilderness lessons would be carried on in the promised land, and a community would be formed in relationship to God that would practice justice and righteousness, and then compassion and steadfast love. Then, just a reminder now, what we mentioned about Jesus, that Jesus really looked at justice and righteousness in a different way than the prevailing opinion of that day. The prevailing opinion was that it meant purity, and that meant that many, many people who were not pure were left out, basically, of any dignity in the society. And while Jesus did not cross off the purity regulations, he emphasized the steadfast love and the compassion. And this made a tremendous difference because this is a clue to why Jesus received so many sinners, tax collectors, outsiders, the outcasts, the prostitute. You could go on and on and on. Zacchaeus, the wealthy, but yet despised. The people left out were brought in because now compassion, which remember yesterday, Marcus Borg helps us by defining it as womish, to live with the world and others as a mother lives and a baby or a fetus would live in the womb, our womishness with each other. Now, we're going to move today into the word shalom, peace, shalom. And let's just do what we did 2 days ago and before, but just say out loudly, what are some of the cultural definitions of the word peace? And I'll repeat them when I hear one. Absence of war.
Serenity.
Yeah, serenity. And a lot of times inner serenity, isn't it?
No fighting.
No fighting. Did parents ever say that? No fighting.
Quiet.
What?
Quiet.
Quiet. Yeah, peaceful is quiet.
Cooperation. Yeah.
What?
Cooperation.
Cooperation. Yeah.
Calmness.
Status quo.
A fraction of the whole.
A fraction
of the whole.
Oh, I get it. Fraction. Did you hear that? Fraction of the whole is a piece. Okay. Now, here is where we'll place the word peace. That it is this way, when in the community there is an understanding that not one of us is a hierarchy or above anyone else. There is one leader whom we worship, and that is God, and we are all equal. So that is worship. And then when there is justice and righteousness, and then when that is combined with compassion and steadfast love. And I remember Paul D. Hansen saying the balance between these two, if you only had this side, you would be tempted to just get very rigid. But if you only had the other side, you would be tempted to get just sentimental. Do you see how the two balance each other? But a community then that balances all three, then this brings in the Hebrew word shalom. And Tom, would you be willing to write shalom in the middle there? And it's spelled P-E-A. Shalom. Which is peace. Now you see how it is much, much deeper than most of our cultural definitions, although they may be part of it. Another way of saying this is what good old Pope Paul, whom nobody remembers, he was the one between John and Paul John, or John Paul. Yeah. But his famous quote from his life was, "If you want peace, work for justice." And another illustration of this is in the 60s when I was an intern in Evanston, Illinois, Martin Luther King spoke at the park that was very near to our church. And I remember going over there. This was the around 65. Going over there, there were hundreds of people there on a stage and singing. And then to hear Martin Luther King preach, and I'll never forget one thing he said. He says the whole world and the universe is like one big candy bar machine. Do you like that so far? But this is what he said. In a candy bar machine, you put in a dime back then. You put in a dime, and out comes a candy bar. In the whole of this universe, you put in injustice, pull the knob, out comes violence. And if you put in justice at the top, out comes peace. And by peace, let me just share the biblical depth of this word that needs many words to describe it. First of all, it's hello and goodbye. You know, shalom, shalom. Another is, you would ask, is it shalom with you? It'd be very similar to our asking, how are you doing? You know, how's it going? Is it shalom? But then in a more deeper sense, it is the absence of war. But it is much deeper than that. It is a society of people that live together, or a world that lives together in health, like a healthy body, in wholeness, well-being, soundness, in relationship. Sometimes my favorite word for it is a health, and the wholeness is shalom. Now, at the time of Jesus, there were, there may be more, but there were at least three great threats to this community and society having a shalom existence. And those three are: one, the Roman occupation; number two, the situation of debt crisis; and three, the law of retribution that had been carried to extremes. These will be very brief, but begin with the Roman occupation. If you were a person in Galilee at the time of Jesus when he comes preaching, every morning you would wake up and know you were occupied. Every day you would go out into the street of the town and see Roman soldiers. Often you would see Roman soldiers coming through. At times you would see the standard of the Roman Empire, the eagle, and to remind you over and over that Rome rules us. The result: bitterness, hatred, anger, and a deep desire among the people for that day when we will take up arms and drive the Romans out of the country. And you wonder how much in the scriptures of what's a demon possession and illness and sickness is partly what happens when a people are so squeezed in by an occupying power. And then, so that would be the other part of this, that any time a Roman soldier tapped you on the shoulder, you had to carry their luggage and their baggage and help them out. This was a constant reminder. We are occupied. We have an enemy. We hate the enemy, and we dream of the day when we will kill the enemy. The second is debt. If you were a peasant farmer in Galilee at the time of Jesus, the powers of that day had set up a system meant to drive you into debt so that you would lose your land, and then the elites of both Rome and the elites of the temple in Jerusalem could take over your land. Then you would be a day laborer, or maybe a tenant farmer with high rent on your land that would drive you even deeper. And worst of all, you would become a beggar or go into debtor's prison. An intentional debt used to take away land and life by the powers of that world. Some estimate that if for a simple peasant that paid taxation in kind, tax was between 40 and 50% of your crops, which included 20% of that was your temple tithe that you had to pay to the temple in Jerusalem to maintain it. This was a double tithe. And hunger, and families breaking up, families dispersing, and this increases the bitterness and the anger. Add to that the law of retribution, which was a very early form of restraint of crime, that you knew if you did a crime, the family that you offended would be in duty to do the same back to you. What this meant was it was a holy obligation if you were harmed, or if the sacred obligation that you had to another family broken, then they must break it back. And so there was a retribution of people seeking honor and having to do this. And then, of course, that then went to the place of the Romans of the great, great retribution that comes when we can finally kill them as they have killed us. So these are the three threats to shalom in that land. Now, Jesus in compassion, sometimes a verse in John at the trial of Jesus, my kingdom is not of this world, is used to mean that Jesus was only interested in spiritual religious piety and not what was happening in the social world of that time. And notice in that verse, the following is, if it were, my followers would fight. So my kingdom is not by the rules of this world. Do you see? Not by the rules of this world. If it were, then we would take up the sword like is the normal way. Now, Jesus, in compassion and in womanish love for his people, offered another way to respond to the three great threats. Jesus called together a community to teach them their response, that they would teach Israel a new response to these threats. And most did not listen. So in Luke 19, as he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, if you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. But then taught an alternative way for each of these three. For the Roman occupation, it was love your enemies. And that's the first thing that enemies would have meant is the Romans. Love your enemies. But he had a pattern of resisting the enemy in a loving way. Now, there isn't time today to explain all of these, so I'll advertise a book. The Powers That Be, Theology for a New Millennium, Walter Wink. It's in the bookstore where he carefully explains, for example, the technique that Jesus gives as walking the second mile was a way to assume power in the face of the Roman occupation and actually throw off the Roman soldiers in a way that they would not hate you, but the possibility of love was there. I want to go on just one more thing about that. Pinchas Lapid is probably the most well-known, and listen to this carefully, Orthodox Jewish New Testament scholar. Amazing. He teaches the New Testament in a way that doesn't have 2,000 years of Christian experience and reinterpretation. But in facing the Roman soldier in this nonviolent, loving way that Jesus taught, Pontius Lapid says what Jesus was teaching was, surprise the astonished Roman soldier with anticipatory grace. Goodness is stronger than evil.
Please turn with us to number 239, and we'll sing together. 239.
When Jesus taught, he knew that the peasants of Galilee were crushed by the burden of debt. One way we know that is when the Jewish armies gained control of Jerusalem in 70 AD for a brief period from the Romans. The first place they tore into was the place where debt records were kept for the whole country and destroyed them. Now Jesus invites people into a community, peasants into a community. And then Jesus teaches them. Now they would have had very little debts to very poor creditors. But Jesus said, why don't you start a whole new way of living together? And all of you, forgive those who are in debt to you. This is my interpretation added. It just could catch on with the higher ups. It just could catch on. And then in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus teaches those who are under burdensome debt how to resist in such a way as to shame the creditor into repentance and reconciliation. And that is in the Sermon on the Mount, which then becomes a way of power. It's a way of saying that light is stronger than darkness. And the law of retribution, the web of sacred obligation between families and between people. When that web is broken, Jesus offered a radical change. Do you follow in the news how this still operates in Palestine and Israel or other peoples against other peoples? There's something dishonorable about not getting back. And Jesus called an end way back in those days to the Middle East deep sense of honor in retribution by teaching them to forgive those who sin against you, those who break the sacred obligation. Forgive them. They will forgive you. Life is stronger. Life is stronger than death. Remember the first Time magazine that came out after 9/11, and it had an editorial that said, the title of the editorial was, Why Pacifism is Evil. It's a faith, it's a belief, it's called the real world, it's called living in reality. And we are taught this over and over and over in our lives. The only way to counter violence is with violence. And how I see this happening now is this, that the only way to relate to terrorists is to snuff out the life of each person whom we call a terrorist. Eventually, we will kill all the bad people, and then we can work with the good people to build democracy and freedom. Work with the good people who are left. The only power the enemy understands is violence. We must persevere, or we might look weak. Not even a slightest recognition that every death, which we have so many here on the board, every death raises new recruits. Without any recognition of mishpat, of justice, of the vast degrading slums among especially the Shiite people in Baghdad and the other cities, crushed, unemployment statistics among the young men especially, astronomical. The cry of the people of this land and for this people is let justice flow like the waters and righteousness like an ever rolling stream. The Philippines is one of many, many examples around the world where this kind of power has actually worked. There are cases where it doesn't, which is also true. Of violence. And one is the Philippines, that people, mostly Roman Catholic people and teachers, were sent to the Philippines at the end of the Marcos regime, and thousands were taught ways of nonviolent strength and resistance. And the stories are beautiful. One person that was killing many and the police were doing nothing. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds gathered around this person's house and celebrated mass surrounding his house, and he was converted. And there in the Holy Communion came out and laid down all of his arms. Hundreds and hundreds were taught how to in dignity lie down in front of the tanks of Marcos. And the tank stopped, and the government was overthrown by the power of the teaching of followers of Jesus Christ. This is the power of life that is stronger than death, light that is stronger than darkness, love that is stronger than hate.
Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. There'll be peace in that land. There'll be peace in that land. There'll be peace in that land where I'm born. There'll be peace in that land. There'll be peace in that land. There'll be peace in that land where I'm born. No more violence. Forgiven in that land, death's forgiven in that land, death's forgiven in that land where I'm bound. Death's forgiven in that land, forgiven in that land, death's forgiven in that land where I'm bound. Love is stronger.
Go in peace and go back to work.